Good morning. Today is election day. No, it's not. It's voting day.
Yes. Well, no, it's not.
I know. We did the mail-in thing, yeah. Too. It
yeah.
Sucked.
So I still get ballots, despite having notified the elections office. I still get ballots at my house for both my kids. Both of them have lived in three states since they left here. And well, I checked that, two states. At least two states, one of them three. And we still get ballots sent to us.
How'd they vote?
you know, it's interesting because part of me wants to know, would they accept it? But I'm not willing to test. I'm not willing to commit a felony to find out whether or not somebody would whether or not somebody would dope out the fact that you know. Yeah. Anyway,
the kids were voting. Yes,
I find that exasperating, and also makes me question things that I don't want to think about.
Everything across
the board. Don't make me think about the fact that you keep sending out ballots to people who don't live here. You've been told they don't live here. As a matter of fact, they're registered to vote, and they've been registered to vote in two or three different states. Anyway,
well, and that's not the dead
syndrome. I rant.
But that's all part of what we're supposed to be avoiding and what everybody says
exactly.
Is taking care of.
There's no ballot fraud. Well, that's fine. There isn't.
It may not be fraud.
Maybe there isn't, but I don't know. You know, if we're indicative of what happens, then how many people are getting multiple ballots into their house? And does everybody have the personal discipline and the compass that enables them to say, I'm not going to pull the trigger again?
Well, I will say that Mom and Dad did not vote this time around.
Yeah, they didn't. Thankfully, I can say mine did. I feel very blessed that mine did, but I had nothing to do with it, really.
All right. You remember Ernie Harwell, right?
I do.
Okay. Why do we say the catbird seat? Which is one of his phrases.
Wow. Well, I would think it would be maybe because a bird, you know that a bird would be above where maybe a cat could get to it, but I don't know.
Anytime you're in complete control of a situation, you're sitting in the catbird seat. Mm-hmm. This was often the case with persons who tried their luck at pioneer sportscaster Red Barber's poker table. When he was sure that there was an ace in the hole, whispered that he was sitting in the catbird seat. Red's memory of tales heard in youth may have influenced him. Tall tales transmitted orally in the Southeast praise the catbird as being the smartest of all wild feathered creatures. Intrigued by his poker playing friend's vivid expression, James Thurber once called one of his famous stories the catbird seat. Introduced into everyday speech by Thurber, the phrase has proved so resilient that no one describes a position of advantage as a bluebird seat, or a redbird seat, or a Cardinals, or an Orioles, et cetera, keeping with the baseball theme.
Mm-hmm.
Or Celtics seat. do what I can.
clunk.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a bridge too far, Ryan.
That one didn't even bounce, did it? It just kind of stuck.
Cornelius Ryan wrote a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Operation Market Garden.
Yeah.
I am full of useless information.
That's okay.
My wife tells me that. I'm a repository of useless information. Yeah. She goes, why don't you know anything? You can't remember anything important.
Yeah. That would be birthdays and anniversaries.
Yeah. forget it.
There was a phrase.
I won't get myself
subtle as a sledgehammer, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, my wife and I go out, and people will say, "Are you celebrating something?" And we say, "Always."
Yeah.
So,
oh, jeez.
She might be being, overly generous, but I am always celebrating. Yeah. I've got somebody to go.
Yeah. So he's actually with you.
Absolutely.
Oh boy. So what are some of the challenges that are going on out there? Certainly the election season, there's a couple of measures in Humboldt County that I don't know if they got any exposure other than on the voters pamphlet, J and K.
Those were quiet.
It's intriguing to me about bed tax that it's always kind of positioned as, well, you don't have to worry about it. You don't pay for it.
Yeah.
Somehow, I think there's a break in logic on that one.
Yeah, putting that out Yeah. Anyway, that was an interesting thing to read and to realize. Okay, there's a little bit of change here, and you know, really, you know, absent something from the hospitality industry, we might not have known really too much about it. So.
Yeah, other than it would have popped up on the ballot. You know, well, what's that about?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what is the significant difference, I suppose, between a fee that's imposed, a tax that is imposed, and then users' taxes? I mean, you would think that they would be pretty straightforward, pretty self-explanatory, but mm-hmm. you still hear about people getting all confused about the different ways that things cost more.
There's different statutory authority for governments to assess things, right? And so the power to tax is reserved to government, right? And then, you know, certain fees. So depending on which level of government you're talking about, you know, certain taxes need certain levels of authority to be able to approve and implement a tax. And the same thing with fees, but they're different. So sometimes it requires the taxpayers to approve certain tax changes, whereas in other cases, it might be able to be done either, you know, at an administrative level or at a board or, you know. So different things get assessed different ways, and they get assessed based on different things, too. So, you know, we all understand we get our cell phone bill and you look at it, or most any utility bill, take a look at it and see all the stuff they've embedded in there. And
at least it's broken out.
Yeah. You know, we got a notice from our cell phone carrier that there's an economic impact assessment or something that they're adding on a $2.20 a cell phone line that's being added by the company that we use. It's inflation. It's an inflationary price increase. But instead, they have to put some, you know, it's
a little more esoteric, so it doesn't look like a rate increase.
It's a little nauseating that we have to put these highfalutin terms on things. Just say we're increasing our prices because costs have gone up.
Well, I think a lot of it is not my fault.
Yeah.
In theory. Yeah. Okay. KINS News and Information Time is 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, some of the different opportunities in the past have had, I guess, changing interpretation. You know, there, at one point, you track sales tax, and that was something that could be a tax write-off. We see it with gas prices now. California, I don't know, Newsom's giving lip service to doing something to help to reduce the impact of gas tax.
Yeah, as I understand it, the governor's proposal is to give everybody, for every registered vehicle, that there would be a rebate that would come back for each registered vehicle.
Which seems a little...
And so that's, but that's a lot more, well, it depends. And then other people have the idea, know that they want to needs base it and base it, you know, and that all that means is it's a potential nightmare for me. Because once you start throwing,
and we all realize it's all about McCauley.
I'm just saying they keep throwing stuff into the tax return.
Oh, do you think that's how they're that's the mechanism they're talking about?
It's going to be based on income. If you base it on income, what are you going to do?
Well, okay, based
and
on
then,
income.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't get mine. Well, then you can now get it. So now we're going to have to ask all our clients, did you get your tax, your gas tax rebate? Oh, I didn't get it. Oh, now you're eligible for it. Anyway, it just becomes, and we've seen that through the recovery rebate situation. It's over and over and over again. Congress, the executive branch, local government, I mean state government, can't resist themselves with running everything through the tax code. And then people ask us, why is my fee up? Well, we have to check. We have to do this now. We have to do that now. We have to do this other thing now. Because they keep adding elements. And the way they get it, the way they get the true up a lot of times, they either make the amount, you get it by filing a tax return, or they make the true up in the tax return. And so that means we have to ask questions about things, we have to follow up, and when a client goes, I don't know if I got my third recovery rebate in March of 2021. And we say, well, it would have been $1,400 a person if you were entitled to it. Based on the income limits, it looks like you were. But of course, it depends on when you filed your previous tax return, because they were, you know, because the look back that they look to determine whether or not you're going to get it might vary. And so,
spend $800 to get $400.
So the problem is, we end up spending more and more and more time helping the process of making these economic initiatives get fully trued up through the system. And so it's a little hard to tell somebody, well, I had to, you know, we went back and forth, and I finally encouraged you to go back through your bank statements to find out that you indeed did get the $1,400, which basically meant you didn't get $1,400 with your tax return, so you got nothing, but I spent more time, and my fee's higher. That's kind of a bad sell,
right,
from a standpoint that, you know, my fee's up because we had to spend time going back and forth over the recovery rebate. So
if you looked at your bank statement, you would have figured that one out.
Well,
in
yeah, but
30
not,
seconds as the taxpayer.
Right, but people forget. I mean, by the time you know, some people, when they sit down to do their taxes, they go through their bank statements. A lot of people don't. It's like, do I have something in the file that says I got this? And then, you know, memory gets faint, you know, as far as, did I get that one? There were three different rounds of recovery rebate. We were asking about round three for 2021. And so if somebody did or didn't get round three, well, by the time we're talking to them in maybe February or March of 2022, it's been almost a year since they got it or didn't get it. And, you know, most people did. But anyway, it's that kind of stuff that we keep seeing flushing through the tax code, plus other complexity. I mean, if you look at the complexity that came with the Trump tax cuts, the Trump-era tax cuts, there was a lot of people who saved money on taxes, and it was, you know, almost everybody did from, you know, almost all my clients did in one form or another, from my perspective. But it's complicated. And it added a lot of complexity. And, you know, the qualified business income deduction is a bear. And, you know, there was a lot steep learning curve on it, and it continues to be challenging. And so, anyway, you get these things. My point is, we just keep making the tax code more and more complicated. Now, you might say, I should be happy about that. That's job security. Well, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
So, you know. I mean, I'm not the same kid I was when I first started showing up for Talk Shop, a bazillion years ago. And so that being said, it's just gotten too complicated. And the challenge is going to be that getting it right gets harder and harder to do. And there's more and more.
Well, with more people.
There's more and more places to trip.
The politicalness of it. Yeah, you know, if you want to see fear, talk to a public works guy. Say, well, why don't we just knock off a couple of bucks off the gas price or suspend the tax for a while? Color drains from their face because there's fundings associated with that that are totally different.
And that's and for most of us, we don't know that, right? I mean, we just assume the money's going somewhere and getting used for something. But we don't know exactly what, you know, wait a minute, we're not going to be able to pave,
pave the road or have somebody knock down the weeds.
Not that we pave a lot of roads here, but anyway, there's a few candidates maybe for a little work. But
yeah, so you look at that, and it just seems like we make things very complicated.
Don't call it weeds; they're called gutter gardens. So you just.
I'll have to bring that one up to Matson. It's 8.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, so the concept of tax, they're really, I mean, obviously it's money going out, but there's also been some discussion about is federal tax going to be something that you get a discount on or recognition of at the state level or vice versa? Is there any movement in that direction at all? You know, particularly, I think it's a head-scratcher for a lot of us because the state of California has such a huge surplus.
For now.
Well, I mean, $90 billion hopefully is going to last more than a week and a half.
Well, they're going to... Okay. I'm a pessimist that it's going to get spent well.
It will be spent.
It'll get spent, but I'm not... I'm a pessimist. You know, first of all, we have huge obligations out there for pension funding.
Yeah, the retirement plans.
And... Yep. For post-employment benefits, health insurance, post, you know. We also, last year, the state, or 2020 and 2021, the state of California during the COVID unemployment crisis allowed somewhere between, originally it was between $9 billion and $32 billion of fraud. Now it's between $22 billion and $32 billion of fraud. I don't think they've nailed it down any closer than that. So that fraud that was done by an incompetent employment development department in terms of their processing, I mean, really epically incompetent, which is interesting because the governor promised all this competence throughout California administration, and we haven't always gotten it, and so, but that was a campaign promise. But anyway, we've seen some pretty fairly epic fails at the state level, and this was a big one. Here's the issue: are they going to take some of this money and pay that back? I don't think so. What are they going to do? They're going to bill. They'll increase the rates for unemployment on employers, and that's where they'll get paid for it. So. Employers will have had nothing to do with the incompetence at the state level that resulted in billions and billions, up to $32 billion in fraud for unemployment claims during COVID. And are they going to take this surplus money and deal with it? I bet you they won't. They'll just assess business owners. Well, that's fundamentally inequitable. I mean, I'm not sure who should pay for incompetence. But, you know, it feels kind of rough on the businesses who all they really wanted was to keep employees and stay open. And
yeah, survival.
And so,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't it was the economic circumstances that caused any. Most employers weren't, you know, they were. Most of my clients are still scrambling to try to find people to be able to be, you know, have full employment in their places of business. So anyway, that's a tough one. So I don't know what's going to happen, what the state's going to do, but there is a big surplus at the California level. Right now we're working with a number of our clients on a provisional law that came up from California in 2021. And basically, the California came up with a set of rules to try to deal with the $10,000 SALT limitation, state and local income tax deduction. So just to recap that, when most of us, if we are filing our individual income tax returns, we determine, do we have enough itemized deductions to itemize? And if not, then we look at what the standard deduction is. So like for 2021, a married couple age 40 would have had a $25,100 federal standard deduction. And so if they don't, if their itemized deductions don't aggregate more than $25,100, then you take the $25,100 as the itemized deductions in the federal return. And for California, you'd actually calculate the itemized deductions. In many cases, that you might be allowed an item because the standard deduction is much lower for California, about $9,202 for a married couple. So that same married couple would be, if they had more than $9,200. However, different things are measured
qualify
in both of those.
Yeah.
So, and one of the big ones is state and local income tax. And state and local income tax is a political football. And the reason for it is the some heavy taxing states, California, New York, Illinois, some of the other big, tending to be blue states for whatever reason, heavy tax rates, felt that the cap of $10,000 for state and local taxes, which, by the way, that cap is the same $10,000 if you're single or if you're married filing jointly.
Oh, it's per tax return?
It's $10,000.
Okay.
So, if you have property taxes and income taxes and they total $20,000, well, for federal tax purposes, your itemized deductions, you only get the benefit of 10, and the other 10 just goes away. And that's been a political football. And one of the things that the IRS, there's been a number of initiatives taken by people trying to figure out a workaround. And actually, the IRS approved the concept for one back in early 2021. And the state of California approved a piece of law to try to help make that happen. And it's called and what we ended up with was the pass-through entity elective tax, or we call it PEET, P-E-E-T, pass-through, no T, pass-through is hyphenated, so we only count the P and the E and the E, the entity elective tax, and the T. So PEET is an issue because it is a workaround for some people to be able to beat the SALT limit. And so that means that you can get a federal income tax deduction for certain payments if you elect under this PEET program at the entity level. So it would be at the S-Corp or at the partnership or LLC level.
So it's a determinant that you make with a filing.
You make that determination, and for 2022, if you're going to elect it, you need to make a payment by June 15th. So we're working on that right now for people that are who are good candidates. And not every one of our clients who have a pass-through entity are a good candidate. It depends.
So you got another deadline you're working against.
We are. And, you know, plus the second quarter estimated tax payments. So if anybody who's on extension or any of our clients who were recalculating each quarter, we got that stuff going on too.
Yeah.
And extension returns.
April 15th, and then it's vacation glide, right?
Right. Yeah, just cruising.
KINS News and Information Time. It's...
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47, 48, 49. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley.
Do I hear an echo?
Yeah. Echo. That just depends on whose ears you're listening to, right?
Yeah, the voices in my head are hearing an echo.
Yeah. Is tax law going to continue to be the shifting sands in government? Is it
I believe so. Yeah, I just don't see any. You don't see any tide coming that's where people are going, hey, this has gotten too complicated again. You know, we've had that, and they changed the law, but it doesn't, almost never makes it simpler. You know, I mean, we talked about, like, an, I don't know if you remember the 86 Tax Act that was during the Reagan administration. We're going to try to make the tax law simple. And so they reduced it down to two tax rates, I believe. Maybe there are two or three in the early points of the Reagan, which, of course, changed. And we went back. But that's not the complicated part.
Right.
The complicated part is when you added the passive loss rules to go along with the Reagan Tax Act, which was incredibly difficult to comply with. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, we made it easier because we only have two rates. That's a mechanical calculation that you make at the end. That's nothing. You know, it was a total nothing burger in terms of making, in terms of true simplification. Oh, well, we've simplified it. We have fewer rates. Oh, my goodness. That makes nothing. That, you know, that's really.
Are there any states that are going through and just trying to make it more cut and dry? You know, the federal, okay, that's always going to be subject to who's in charge and what they like and what they don't like. But at the state level, I would think some of the more rural states, the Wyomings and Montanas, Utahs, there might be a chance to kind of just simplify.
Nevada's system's pretty good.
Yeah, zero?
Yeah. Washington, no tax. You know, a lot of them, some states are more based. California bucks federal on a lot of stuff. So instead of complying, there'll be a federal tax law change, California won't comply. So there's a lot of differences between on a California return between California and federal. There can be a lot. And because California and federal law differ a lot.
Just bowing their neck and saying,
yeah, they don't
take
wanna,
a hike?
They don't want to, you know, there'll be this provision that goes in. You know, generally California likes it if it's revenue positive. But if it's, you know,
if it's taxpayer positive, not
like,
so much.
If they feel like it's gonna cost tax dollars, they semi regularly don't comply, and so then you end up with these differences that you have. But some states are more attuned to what the federal calculation is, and you end up don't have near as many differences. Matter of fact, most states, I would say, the tax returns are more simple. I wouldn't say Hawaii is. It's kind of got a lot of, it's got some interesting variances. You know, Oregon's pretty fairly straightforward, but they also have some kind of weird adjustments that they'll have too. And when you do the return, it comes up as adjustment number 150, and then you got to figure out, why am I getting adjustment 150?
What happened to the first 149? Yeah.
Anyway, so the point is, there's complexity in most of the states. Idaho's fairly straightforward, kind of not fun to do if you've got somebody who moved during the year of move.
Yeah, if you're going to move, move on the 31st of December, please.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we could get everybody to move on December 31st, or, you know, if you want to push it January 1st, that'd be fine too. But, the people who move on March.
Garrick would go crazy.
March 22nd, and it's like, then you got to break all the income out between, you know.
And prorate it and everything.
Prorate it between the states and whatnot. So that's never exciting.
No, it's.
And it takes more time, and then your fee's higher, and the client goes, why is my fee higher? Well, it's because you moved.
Yeah.
Sometimes client will move, and they'll go, I'm going to have somebody do it here. And I'm thinking, well, that's good, because that year of mover term is going to be a bear for you.
Yeah. So you've got a little bit of action for the next week, and then you got a little bit of action for the next 3 weeks, huh?
Yeah, we'll be busy. We're just going to be busy.
Yeah. And it's kind of like the operating modality anymore, isn't it?
It is.
It keeps you off the street.
True.
Yeah. Maybe in the pool, but off the street.
There you go.
All right. Don't forget to vote, everybody. See you tomorrow.